What's up, dads? My name is Johan Cabrera. I am the host of the Drink Like a Man show. And on today's episode, we are actually going to dig into the Liver King's confession for lying about doing steroids. And what we're going to try to extract out of it is the wisdom that us dads can learn about how to authentically come clean. So join us for the end of the episode and I'll uncover the Liver King's 11th tenet, or at least what I think it should be. So here's the big question. How can us dads, fathers, how can we pursue our calling, our big dream, while being available with our kids, being loving to our wives, leaders at work, keeping fit spiritually and physically while living in this insane world? That is the question, and this podcast has the answer. I don't know if you're familiar with the Liver King. He is a social media personality that within the last year has really come into fame because he preaches on eating raw meat, raw testicles, liver, in a way to eat how our ancestors kind of ate, in order to promote a healthier lifestyle, a lifestyle that will give you clarity. It'll increase your testosterone. It will help you to basically get on track with life. And his answer to that are the 10 primal tenets, I believe. And the reason why on today's episode, I wanted to speak on one of his latest videos, and something, if you haven't been aware of it, he got caught doing steroids. If you've never seen him, he's huge, huge guy. He's in his 40s and most of his videos are about working out. But the problem is that he is marketing his lifestyle of eating clean and eating this certain way. And when he was often asked if he had any additional performance-enhancing drugs, steroids that he was using, he always, you can actually just Google the video, Liver King's Confession. So the problem is that really quickly escalated on him being inauthentic, him being a fraud. So many people in the past suspected it, including Joe Rogan, who has the most popular podcast in the world, called him out several times, I believe, saying there's no way this guy is natural. There's no way he has that kind of body in his 40s just eating meat and raw meat and this ancestral living lifestyle. Turns out that was true. The suspicions came to a reality. What happened next is he decided to make this confession video. So after watching the video, my takeaway was not that he was confessing and felt sorry about the lie. It really came across as he felt bad because he got caught. But I've heard it said that trust is earned in drops, but lost in buckets. And this is one of those examples. The lessons I can learn, and I think we can learn from this apology, is why I wanted to do this episode today. I actually had a different plan, but since it's been top of mind and it's really spoken to me. So I'm not an expert on the Bible, but it is my moral code. It is what my foundation and faith is. I believe in Jesus as my God and my Savior. The reason why I'm saying this is because I want to give you a perspective of what it really looks like according to my foundation, the Bible, to confess. There's two verses that I want to just share with you. And is you do not need another human mediator, since by faith you already have Jesus Christ. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. In the perspective of the Bible, the confession really only has to happen between me and God. My apology, it's not saying my apology to others that I've affected has to happen between me and God, but dealing with the inner work, dealing with the inside out journey. What do I have to do first? For me, for what the Bible tells me, it's to pray and confess and go directly to the source, the only one who can deal with my wrong and make it right. But then there's another verse, and it's in James 5:16, and it says, therefore confess your sins to another and to pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So this confession, this healing, this making right is really a vertical confession, meaning my standing with God. It's also going into the, there's a sin here. A sin is a term, it's an archery term, and it actually goes from missing the mark. And what we believe, what I believe in the Bible is that, right, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I have a redeemer. I have a savior that paid the price, and it's Jesus. This isn't a get out of jail free card, right? And there's still a horizontal work that needs to be done. Giving you that context of where I stand, I want to, as dads, talk about what can we learn from an example of how not to do it and what happens as a result of it, and then how we should do it, how I was taught by my mentors on how to go about making an amends on the horizontal level, where I confess and I try to make it right with the people that I love, with the people that I care about, with my family, with my friends, with my wolf pack, with my inner circle. So how I kind of break it down is I need to talk to God and I need to ask for help. And I need to come clean by myself, me and God. There's three steps that I kind of break this down. And the first one is detail. I need to make a detailed overview of the moment where I hurt others and where possibly and maybe I was also hurt. So that moment of wrong. And usually what I like to do is do it on pen and paper, on notebook, on a journal, and just write it out. I want to look at only my part. There might have been an exchange with another person. If it's an argument, did that person get loud and then I responded? Did that person do something and then I responded or reacted in a way that now I have to make an apology for, an amends? Yes, there may be other parties only looking at my part or how my part affected that person that I care about, that person that I love, that person that I'm interacting with. Next is the design. This is where I believe I need a group of men or one specific person that I need to reach out to. Hopefully it's a mentor, someone who has wisdom that he can pass down, someone who has a life that I want to model. And I'm going to him and asking that person, hey, this is what happened. This is my part, and I need your help looking at what I should do, and this is what I'm thinking. And that's why I called it design, because there is a plan that's taking place on how I'm going to make this right. And now we're going to take a quick break and listen to a message from our sponsor. Dads, are you tired of your family asking why you drink so much? Are you tired of your wife asking how many beers you had yesterday? Are you tired of your family giving you that look every time you pick up a glass? I know where you're coming from. And that's why I created the Dad's Guide to Stop Drinking or Pause Your Drinking Fast. I'm sharing it with you. Free download at thinklikeadad.com, thinklikeadad.com. Just think of how it's going to feel to go to any event and not have the pressure of having to pick up a drink, or what it's going to be like to wake up hangover free, to go on that run that you've been planning, to play with your kids early in the morning. I went from drinking every day to actually stopping and staying stopped for the last 15 years, and I packed all the secrets right in this book. So download the guide at thinklikeadad.com to learn how to put the plug in the jug stress-free. Download it now, thinklikeadad.com. And now, let's get back to the show. I had, for a lifetime, many wrongs that I had committed towards my dad, with the excuse in my side of saying, well, he did these things to me. Once I was able to, in detail, look at my part with my mentor, there was a few that really stood out that I could make reparations, clear black and white reparations. And one of them happened to be financial as well. My dad helped me to start a business where I irresponsibly took the money, gave it to my business partner, and did not keep any track or responsibility of it. When I was asked by my dad, hey, how is this business venture going? I would lie about it, not be responsible. And basically, the money was spent. There was no good reason. When I tried to ask my business partner to give me all the receipts, it was basically spent to cover a debt that the business that he had. It's because if I was honestly looking into and being responsible with this money that my dad had given me to help me, then I would have never allowed something like giving someone money just to pay a debt to include me, and I wouldn't have been so irresponsible. So the detail of the plan was, in my amends to my dad, in my attempt to apologize for so much of my behavior that was wrong, I also had the plan to make this financial amends and detail it. And at the moment, I was unable to pay for it in one lump sum. But I did have a plan to carry that payment out and include interest that had accumulated over time. When I spoke to my dad about my amends, just being able to confess, to be able to talk about all the moments of hurt that I may have caused him, that I did cause him, was a moment that allowed me to get closer to him than I ever had. It was a moment that he saw me as the man that I was becoming, that I was hoping to be, and the commitment that it required. My dad did not want to accept the financial amends, but instead he did ask for help at that time in financial ways. At the moment he had also been in a difficult financial situation, and I was able to provide for his rent. And I invited him to live with me for a season. And he lived with me for a season. But the moment I was able to divulge, to talk about and have the faith to only talk about my part, I just wanted to share how that unlocked the baggage between my relationship with my dad and me. It restored it to a place where it had never been. There was a closeness between us that I am so grateful for, because my dad's no longer around, but the relationship that we were able to develop after I was on that path of making an amends completely changed my life. It helped me to connect in a way and allowed him to connect to me in a way that we had never had before. And that's the power of making an amends. And I'm not saying it's easy, especially in that moment where I'm asking the question, how can I make this right? But that faith journey, that moment in the unknown where I'm trusting God and not my senses, what I can see, what I can feel, what I can touch, what I can hear, where I'm no longer in charge, but I'm putting it out there in the right context, in truth, in honesty, and I'm letting go and letting God take care of that. That faith journey is priceless. And I would tell you that something beautiful that kind of happened with my relationship with my dad was that the day that he actually got to meet my now wife was the only moment that they got to meet. But he did something that when it was happening in the moment, I wasn't able to recognize it. But my dad began to make an amends to me. My dad, and this was years after I had taken that step to only talk about my part and make an amends for my part. But I know that that moment impacted my dad in such a way. And here it is, I didn't realize at the time that that was going to be the only moment that my dad was going to meet my wife, who then was my girlfriend, because he actually ended up passing several months later. But the point is that there was a foundation set when I took that faith step of making an amends the right way. Not what I think I should be saying, but what I'm called to do to make it right. Yes, it is a faith step. Yes, it takes courage. Yes, there's still fear. Financial insecurity, emotional insecurity, logical insecurity. There's so many scenarios where I was so afraid that I wasn't going to be able to commit to what it required, but being mentored by another man, by someone who had already walked these steps and told me, this is the key to unlocking the freedom that you are longing for, that peace of mind. I heard a friend say it the other day. I love this way of living, of being honest, because I don't have to be an a-hole anymore. And that feeling is priceless. And it's true. I know what it's like to live a web of lies. It's a constant spinning of plates where there's a stick and there's a plate spinning on the top and there's several of them. I don't know if you've seen those magic tricks, but it's constantly the person who's doing that trick is constantly having to spin the plate. Constantly aware of what plate is spinning. And at least for me, that's what it's like to live with areas that are unconfessed, with areas that I need to make an amends for, hopefully before it blows up. But in this case, in this example that we're seeing with the Liver King, it already blew up and it's much harder, but still an amends is required. And there's a wrong way to do it, which is to talk about the details, talk about why I did it, talk about why I think I'd feel justified that I did it, and here's how I did it, and this is something that you don't understand, but I do, so I'm sorry for being caught. That's the wrong way to do it. Now, there's a right way to do it, and I'm not saying that I know exactly the right way to do it, but I just want to give you an example of how I did it in hopes that this can be a roadmap for you if there is an area that requires confession, if there is an area that there's a burden that you feel you can't shake, that there's a lie that continues to have to spread a web of lies because you need to keep the appearances. You need to keep spinning the plates. This is a way out of that. And at least for me, I can tell you that the results are priceless. To be able to go to bed and have peace. To not, like my friend said, I don't want to be an a-hole anymore. And I like how that feels. And how I keep doing that is by being honest. It's funny that honesty is the best policy, or there's a quote like that. There's more truth to that than I could ever imagine. And there was one more point that I wanted to make that out of the Liver King's confession. I actually felt for the guy because it sounds to me like there's a lot of yes men around him, and there really isn't a voice that's calling him out on his BS. Because I believe that if there was a wolf pack of men that he's being surrounded by that have, I'm not saying a huge group, but just a small group of trusted men walking this inside out journey together to get further along, to get better as dads in our scenario, which is what we're trying to do here, then maybe there would have been an opportunity of someone overlooking the details of this apology, of this confession, and say, hey, you're doing it wrong. Wait, stop, reassess. Let's look at this. Let's talk about it. Let's confess it. Let's cry. Let's pray. And let's do it right. Because there is a path to doing it right. And that's why I hope and want to continue on this journey, because I need a mentor to speak into my life. I need my wolf pack of men that will stop me on my tracks before the danger zone, before it blows up. That'll call me out on my BS, because guess what? I continue to mess up. I, in my ego, think that I'm doing it right when I'm so far from the path that God has laid out for me, that God has given me this dream or this opportunity to walk down. And there's something that happens, one moment or several moments, where I think, I got this. I can do this. I can, but at least for me, it's not in isolation. It's in community. So how to have a confession that doesn't sound like the Liver King. And this is why I think his 11th tenet should be to have a community, a wolf pack of men speaking truth into you. Because I really believe that if he had that, he wouldn't have come out with that fake apology. Maybe that's the best he could do. But honestly, I really think it came off more as dishonest than honest. So going back to the steps that we kind of walked through is how can we make it right? So first is I pray and confess my relationship with God. I detail on paper. I design a plan with my mentor. And I divulge, I make the confession in the right way, in my part, and ask, how can I make it right in faith? The result for me, and I think for thousands or maybe millions of others, is freedom. It's restoration. It's peace of mind. And you don't, like my friend said, and you don't have to feel like an a-hole anymore. So if you liked what we talked about, please like and subscribe on the platform that you're listening to. And dads, let's keep thriving. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of Drink Like a Man. Until next time, God bless, and let's keep thriving.